Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night at 8 p.m. This is Brian Powers, and this is New Jersey Revolution Radio Live. Hashtag is NJRR. You can find us on the web at njrevolutionradio.com, and we stream out on YouTube, and we stream out on Twitter, and we stream out on Facebook, as well as all the podcast platforms. So thanks to you that are listening to us on Spotify and Google Play and everywhere else in the world. We are here tonight. We're going to have a great show. I'm really excited to welcome a good friend of mine for many, many years. Kim Might is going to be co-hosting with us, as well as Q DaVincio, an amazing hip-hop, rap, all-around artist, is going to be joining us to not only listen to some music, but, you know, talk a little bit about politics. And Justin Roy will be here from the Young Greens, Young Eco-Socialists, which used to be the Young Greens, and it's the youth-led movement and the Green Party. So as some of you may know, my partner in building New Jersey Revolution Radio, Heather Warburton, is no longer with us, or on her way to no longer being with us, as we part ways business-wise. You know, I have her to thank for all the visual stuff you see and helping me build this company. So it's a great loss. I really can't pretend that it's not a great loss to New Jersey Revolution Radio to not have her skill sets along the way, and her shows Wine, Women, and Revolution, State of the Revolution, and other various projects. So, you know, we wish her the best of luck. There's a lot of comrades involved with NJRR, New Jersey Revolution Radio, around the state of New Jersey. Our supporters, our sponsors, our donors, activists that come on here every week for like 2 years. I mean, we've literally, I've never kept count, but I know it's hundreds of people that have contributed to this network. But only a couple of them have stepped up to be worker owners here at New Jersey Revolution Radio. So, you know, we wish you the best of luck. It does mean things are going to have to change, though, in a very real way, both, you know, for myself personally and for the network. You can't just replace somebody like that. So, you know, I do need people that have given and contributed to NJRR to step it up. I need more personnel, and I need more people on staff to take the place of all the hard work. And I need to be able to, you know, do more with less right now. So it does mean I need my contributors and my donors to step up. If you can make a donation, you can go to the website right now, www.njrevolutionradio.com/donate. And that link is on the bottom of your screen if you're watching the live stream. But it really does help at this time, as we're going to have to retool a little bit. It's new, so I'm not really sure how we're going to retool, but I am taking this on, as with everything else in life, as a challenge that I have to meet and accept and keep struggling on, because the bottom line is, I think after a couple of years and just looking at what we've built, I'm just really humbled and happy and thankful for everybody. I mean, we're nearing 2,000 Facebook likes. And when you look at some of the other activists and political organizations around the state, you know, it's pretty impressive. And I know a lot of those organizations, because I know the history of them, I've been around, they bought those likes back in the day. You know, and I think our, you know, our numbers and the people that are paying attention to our network keep growing. So, you know, we're going to keep that momentum going here, even though things are going to look a little different going forward. You know, like I said, the more you chip in and the more everybody supports us, either through donating or sharing or, you know, just kind of passing the word around about, you know, having a grassroots activist media network here in New Jersey, it's appreciated. All right. So let me bring in, with that all being said, let's continue moving on. And we're going to bring in my co-host, Kim Might. You recognize her from Green Party fame, of course, and she's been my co-host here before, been a guest many times. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hi. Good. I'm good. How about you?
Tired, working on the house. Putting on a new roof. It sucks.
It does. But we're working people.
It's nice to get out of the house, and we actually had some really nice weather. It did rain today up here in Woodbridge. I don't know what the weather was like down by you, but
yeah, we had a little bit of rain today too.
It came through the south too, but it hasn't been real blazing hot, so it's not been too bad to be up on a roof. Getting some stuff done. So, bringing you in to co-host, because you've been paying attention to federal politics.
Well, yeah.
Something I've given no attention to. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, the DNC is going on. I heard they nominated a couple old, like, old white guy and some cop.
Of course.
And, like, I mean, I didn't pay attention. I was on a roof and I was.
That was what I was paying attention to. So it was before the Congress went on their summer session. They spent a couple weeks trying to hash out another stimulus package.
Ooh, am I going to get more money?
No. So right now, the extra money people were getting for unemployment has now stopped. So, you know, and someone who has been furloughed, I know that extra money helps because most unemployment only pays, in New Jersey, I think it's like 70% of what your salary is. And that, you know, and then people got to realize, they think, oh, well, that's 600. You need that extra money to live. And first of all, when you're without a job, you got to pay your health insurance.
My benefits expired last year. I haven't had, like, I've had jobs and stuff, but never enough to earn unemployment. It's been, you know, on and off contractor work and stuff like that. I didn't get nothing. Like, I wasn't eligible for the unemployment. So all I got was $1,200.
Yeah. So, and that's another thing, you know, so they're playing politics with Americans, and it's not right. You know, we were big corporations, you know, that money would have went out right away. There would be no problems whatsoever. The $1,200 that people had gotten back in, I think was April, is, you know, people have went through that money already, you know, people, and they said the economy was booming at the time, which I don't know if it was, but, one of the things I read was now food sales have been down the last 2 weeks. Could that be because people don't have money to buy food? You know, worried about that. People are going to start going hungry. We know evictions are starting to happen, you know, even though there was supposed to be some states where there's, you know, protection against people being evicted. But we know that's not going to happen. It's just a sad thing, you know. It just gets you very, I don't know, it gets me pissed off that, you know, the two-party system does not care about any of us, you know.
The problem is there's no options. I mean, there's really no other options. Like, we don't have viable independent third party candidates that are even polling at 1%. I don't know, the Libertarian candidate, the Green Party candidates, you know, below 1%. I don't know if the Libertarian candidate was over 1%. Huh. We don't have viable even at local levels now. There's very few states that have any kind of independent movements. I mean, you can point to Vermont with the Vermont Independent Progressives. Maine has some independent movements. But I mean, most of the country is red or blue, and it's weird. That's weird to think that in a country of 300 million, you can only have two kinds of political beliefs.
Well, they don't want to give us no media attention either for any third parties. That's another thing. But at the same time,
the Revolution Radio, we do.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And then even like some of the progressive candidates that do get in there that the Democrats think wind up turning on us all anyway. You know, I mean, the first thing I thought is before they went to session, I'm like, they should not leave. I'm sorry. Before you leave for summer session, you need to hash out a deal. I don't care if you had to sleep there that night. Hash out a deal. This is Americans' lives. You know?
They're not connected to that. I mean, you're talking about the bourgeoisie.
Exactly.
I mean,
you know, it does. We're going to be struggling. We're going to see, you know, food line. Where we saw food lines even before all this was happening, you know, and people are not going to be able to, you know, survive. It's a shame. We're going to have so much homeless. You know, another thing is why people need this extra money too. Is like if you have to work and you have your kids, that $1,200 and that extra $500 for each kid can really help out a lot, because people might need babysitters to watch their kids when their kids are not able to go back to school. You know, unfortunately, none of these live regular American life, so they don't know what's going on. And then, of course, mm-hmm. I yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, we talked about in schools a lot of the conversations, because we've had a lot of school programs on the and childcare programs and a lot of things about, you know, what to do with kids, basically. And it's much the same everywhere, that it depends on your economic conditions, you know, how much of a chance you have of getting thrown back into unsafe conditions. I mean, low wage workers are, you know, how much shit have you heard about? Oh, we got to get restaurants open. And nobody's paying attention to the fact you're basically forcing low wage workers back to work.
Exactly.
I'm hearing, you know, as we're coming up on a second wave, the political lines from both sides are encouraging people to get back to work. Why? Why are we encouraging people to go back to work? It doesn't make any sense. Why not beat the virus? You're supposed to beat the virus. Other countries, you know, went back into quarantine when they saw a second wave coming. We went out to the beach and licked each other.
Well, the problem was, I mean, when things were getting bad here in New Jersey and New York and everything like that, the rest of the country should have followed suit. If we could, as a whole in a cold country, could like quarantine for at least 2 months, I think we wouldn't have the cases we do now, because we see other countries are not like we are, you know? Most of them, yeah, they went through a tough period of time for a couple months, but without. Instead, up in the Northeast, we were quarantined when people were having Mardi Gras and summer break.
What the
fuck
are you doing?
All right. Do you like hip-hop music?
Is this
hip-hop music, right, Q? Right, let's bring him in the studio here.
Hey, what's up,
is this Blastfly's hip-hop, brother? Is that what this is?
That's hip-hop, man. It's just good music. Whatever you want to call it, that's what it is.
You have to let us old people know. We don't know.
You'd be the whitest interview I've ever given you.
That's amazing.
I don't know new music at all.
Nice.
I don't know. I know old Public Enemy, NWA. I've been listening to a lot of Dr. Dre and Ice Cube lately. I don't know anything new. This is beautiful, though, man. I really love this. I like the stuff with the hard edge. That kind of, it sounds like somebody's punching you in the stomach every time they hit that bass, man.
Now, if you want the new music, man, just go to my 4NRE app or Twitter, and I show all the new music, man.
Everybody, this is Q DaVincio, and if you're listening on the podcast, it's spelled Q U with the little two dots over it, E. D A V I N C I, capital Y, capital O. Hi, let me ask you first, man, about where'd your name come from?
Well, first of all, my full name is Quentin, and everybody used to just call me Q for short, so that's Q. DaVincio, I just got DaVincio by just talking, and I just play with the words and just add the yo to the original Leonardo da Vinci, and I just put the yo behind it and took out the Leonardo and put DaVincio. It's really like DaVincio, you know, like soccer, you know, you gotta extend the yo.
So how did you wind up as an artist, man?
I'm sorry, say that again.
How did you wind up as an artist? Where tell us about like a little bit about your roots.
I always been an artist, man, since young. I knew it at the time, but it just came in fruition till now. I got a music background. I played the drums, I did the flute, the saxophone, and everything like that since I was young. And then listening to like the old jams, like Keith Sweat and things of that nature from my pops and everything. And my brother showing me music all the time from like I didn't know like Redman, Method Man, like when they was like up and coming. I mean, when they was like full blown who they were, I was getting abreast of the hip hop as a young person. Like, so when Tupac died, I was like two, but I knew the impact he had already. I'm from the Bronx. So the Bronx, you know, you're around that 24/7, the creator of hip hop. So I'm around music 24/7.
That, so were you born and raised in the Bronx?
Born and raised.
Is that where you're at now still?
Yeah, I'm in the Bronx right now. I'm in Parkchester right now, PC.
Cool, man. Cool. I know that, you know, I grew up kind of a white kid in the suburbs, and like I was mentioning, some of the rap that I had around when I was a kid, Public Enemy and stuff, you know, they were politically educating people. It wasn't just about, you know, dancing and fun, and I don't know if it translated as well as it should have, as quickly as it should have, because I mean I hear that music today is as very prophetic. You know what I'm saying? And we talked a little leading up to the show that you've got a political side to you, that you have definitely strong political opinions, and having, you know, grown up in some rough neighborhoods, man, that has that shaped your politics a lot? Or did you come into politics later? I mean, how did politics come into play in your life?
Well, my mom kind of showed it to me. She told me to read Malcolm X books. I never did until like I got older, and then I started realizing what was going on by going through jail and like just little like weekend things and all that, just, you know, spending the night, nothing big, nothing major. And you start seeing like how the system is just, it's not, when you growing up, the system is just not with you. Like, you just being left alone from everything. Like, you wondering why things is happening, and you seeing like for everybody else is prospering, and for you, you just getting stuck. You're getting all these setbacks all the time. And it's just like, why is this happening? So once you start getting the knowledge of why it's happening, and you seeing the system, and then again, the older people telling you this is what it is, and you start putting two to two together, you know, now you start seeing like this system is not for us. And you see who's really in charge. You see it's a race thing. It's not even about who's smart or if they really like you or if you're a kind person or a good-hearted person. It's not about that. It's just all about money and power. If you got money, you could persuade a lot of opinions from doing a thing. I did a protest. I did a walk to close down Rikers because on Rikers, I've never been to Rikers before. I never want to, but I have people that I know that been to Rikers, and it's just people over there, they get treated unfairly. Like, it's just injustice what's going on. Like the CEOs is like sometimes. The CEOs sometimes is like putting weapons in people's hand to get other inmates cut. And like, it's just, it's crazy out there. So I did a walk for that. They supposed to be closing it down, but it's still open. So I don't know, you know, but I try here and there, but it's only so much I could do. I'm like a little pawn in the game, you know?
Well, I think that's what it takes, is a lot of little people rising up, because, you know, the powerful people, there just aren't as many of them as there are of us, but it really is the money and the violence that they're able to use against us.
Yeah, it's unfair, actually, because you could just be walking across the street, handling your business, doing everything by the book, but just because you look like that person or look like a person that's going to cause violence, like a stereotypical black person, they're going to get you. And even me, it happens. I could just be walking down the street just because how I look, I'm getting stared by the police and, you know, just unjustly, like they just looking at me as like, oh, he's stereotypical, but they're not knowing that I'm smarter than half of them, or maybe majority, but they don't take that time to know. So it's just like, it's a waste of time to even try to, you know, convince them otherwise, because we've been fighting this battle since young. Like, this has been going on before I was born, and we still in phase one. We didn't even go to step two yet, you know, but it is what it is.
You know, thinking of New York City, and I was thinking of what I just read in the New York Post here about the NYPD endorsing Donald Trump for president. And the NYPD has not endorsed before. They've endorsed some Democrats in the past, I'm sure, but the president, Pat Lynch, who's just the most racist asshole. This guy's on Fox News all the time. I mean, he's not even like he doesn't even have the sense to keep his racism secret at all. This guy says some of the most racist shit over the last 10, 15, 20 years, and he's still the president of a union, by the way, which has a lot of black members. And this is what,
I'm sorry, keep going.
I saw an interview with Paul Robeson, and, you know, he was like, a pig is a pig, you know, and they were talking about, you know, black cops and white cops and how they're all just cops. But it's still amazing to me that you have such a racist guy, and NYPD's got to be 50-60% black.
But again,
where is the black leadership in police ranks saying you shouldn't be doing this?
There's none at all. A lot of them, they just get in a paycheck and go. Police is corrupted, especially out here in the New York PD. They are officially gang members. They're not even police. They are gang members. They do unjust things all the time. They kill people just the same way how gang members are supposed to be killing people, but they do it for fun. At least the gang members, they trying to live, you know what I'm saying, for the next person, because you don't know, that's an enemy. It's a past beef. But these cops is really killing black people for no reason. Like, they killing kids. They doing everything unjustly. Like, these cops is really be bugging out. Like, they got to relax. But, again, there's no accountability for their actions. So, it's like, all right, if they shoot somebody or do something wrong, half the time they're not going to even get fired. They're not even going to go to jail. You know, they might sit down in the press to make the public be all right, but when you really look into it, to the situation, they still on the payroll. So it's just like, they really control things. It's nothing that they can't do. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I'm just one guy, and I've never lived in New York City in my life. I've only visited there, and I can think of at least three separate instances where I've seen police hit somebody. Twice it was a drug addict.
They were just trying
to shoot somebody out of Penn Station. They had to hit him with a baton on the way out.
Yeah, they honestly start the argument and initiate. So like you're supposed to calm the situation down. They want to raise it up so the person that they antagonize, he could raise it up, and then they're going to try to arrest them. And then, statistic wise, they got numbers. So when somebody that don't know the situation, they looking at the numbers, but like, as they looking at the numbers, as in like, oh, they doing their police work, they doing that, but they not understanding that numbers, they starting it. That number wouldn't happen if they never started. So it's just, it's bogus. It's corrupted. Mm.
Kim, did you have any questions? I haven't.
No. So, what hope do you see for the future?
No hope.
Yeah.
I see the younger generation definitely being on this problem or the situation like before, like we got it, or the next generation or the last generation, like older than us, because they know the situation at hand. Like they don't have no racism. Like, I see white kids, black kids all the time, Indian, all of that, they all together. So it's not a younger generation problem, it's still an older generation. And the older generation is still trying to like use that so they can stay in power. Again, you still got some younger generations that's still racism, but it's not the majority, it's like a minority. The older generation is a majority. And even black people is racist to their own kind. And it's kind of sad because it's like, you don't even know yourself. Half the time we don't, but the media try to portray us as black people or minorities. We not even like that. It's just that, you know, we got microscope and they look at us as in like, oh, this is how they are and this their environment is dirty, but that's not really true.
No, it's not. So one of the things is I have been in areas like Camden and Newark, and I find the people there are so genuine, so generous. I mean, so generous. They will talk to you. They are very friendly. And people, I think, need to know that. I mean, I think, you know, it's a whole different atmosphere. I could go to suburb areas and it's like, oh, people are stuffy and, you know, are not friendly. But I find people in areas like in that type of areas like that, the best type of people ever. And we need to put that out there. I really do.
It's just a bad picture. I think it's an old stereotype. I think we got to update it because this young generation, man, like our generation and younger, they killing the game. They doing tech. They making new stuff for the world to be better. They just not getting recognized for that. And the older generation is not helping them or giving them the right guidance. They using them for their own maneuvers and motivation. And that's whack. Because this world is a beautiful place. They just making it worse. If I want to keep it 1,000, we all together in this. We all got to live in this. So nobody's better than nobody. So we just got to we all just got to be together. And if one of us messed up, then we just got to pick them up and show them the right way. Just don't chastise them and show them like, oh, you're a bad person. Sometimes he really made a mistake and you got to help him out and commend the people that make great things and achievements. Don't hate on him because he's doing good.
One thing I really like seeing is when people have success. And I have been on YouTube. I got like 121 followers. I'm really excited if I get like a couple, like dozen people that watch our videos here. Maybe 100 is great. I think we've had a couple that hit 2,000 or 3,000, which is really cool. But you got a video here that's hit 11.1K. That's pretty cool, man. I have a lot of people that seen your video, man. The song is called "I Do This."
That's right.
First off, I mean, Was this something that you really promoted and pushed to get these numbers, or just kind of take off? Or is this something that you've been featuring?
No, I definitely promoted it. I showed everybody that I know in the music circle to put it out there and put me on. I've been on the radio. Here I Come song that I did, the first song on the mixtape, my first mixtape I put out publicly, and I got great reviews. So, you know, I just love the music, man. Like I do the music for fun, man. I really love it, man. I'm waiting. Like if this COVID wasn't happening, I'd already have been in UK promote. I'd have been an opener for a big headline. You know, I don't know what the headline was, but I would have been in the opening, and I already got the deal. It's just that this COVID is really messing everything up. Just soon as I was about to blow, that's when the COVID happened. But for the meantime and between time, you know, I still got music, new music on the way, and I'm ready to take over the world. I know my music bumping, you know? I just got
Yeah, man. Yeah, this is a really cool. Now, this song is a little happier than the other one. This one's a little more, you want to go to have a glass of champagne with this one. So I really like this one. It's called I Do This. And Gary there on the chat, stay tuned, because right after we listen to this music, we're going to do a commercial break real quick. And they're going to come back with Justin Roig from the Green Party. A young Green is going to talk to us a little bit about one of those alternatives to the Republicans and Democrats. So here, let's listen to the song though first. I Do This. This is a cool tune too. I like
it. Ow.
I wanted to ask you about this thing dancing on your hood, dude.
My little cousin, he keeps doing it every time he watches the video. He does this alien dance. Cause I do this. Everything about me going up. Cause I do this. All them gangsters say what's up. Cause I do this. All the ladies loving us. Cause I do this. Hollywood, I'm in the cut. Cause I do this. Don't even talk too much, cause I do this. Damn, dog, I done got these haters agging. They think I ride around with scales and some baggage. If you got some money for me, then holler at me. Cause I'm still in the hook of coming.
It's funny because one of the parts that's coming up when I was writing and dancing, I lit it in the wrong place. Like I was smoking the ash part. And I had to play it off in the video like right there, that part right there. I'm always on the court like an athlete. Traveling on every play like I carry. Haters talking that noise, sitting in the backseat. Catch me in the alleys, swerving through the back streets. Police always on my job, trying to harass me. Because they know that them streets I done married. If I pull up with a know she is a baddie, giving me some weed, only way is to gas me. I don't even pull no stunts, cause I do this. It's always a van pulling up, cause I do this. Hitting buzzer beaters in the clutch, cause I do this. Everything about me going up, cause I do this. All the gangsters saying what's up, cause I do this. All them ladies
so solo nuts, material, or you got a band with it?
No, I solo. Everything I do is solo. Even my business, from NR Eve, and my music is all me. It's a one-man team.
And you mean that hamster didn't help you write this?
Nah, he just did.
Man, before you go, I think you mentioned a little bit before we watched the video, but please, one more time, let people know how they can find you on the web or on social media or whatever so they can keep up with you.
Yeah, you could Google me, Q DaVincio. You can also check out my app, the 4NR Eve app, if you want to see the cool music, the fresh talent that don't do music, do short films. If you just want to be a part of the culture, you know, I interview people too that don't got a lot of public. Publicity, but they are very cool people. Like they've done a lot behind. Like the last person I did, his name was ASAP Young. He produced for a guy called Assad, and Assad did songs for Ab Soul. He also did some merch for Lil Uzi Vert, and you know that's the person I interviewed, the producer. And all the people behind the scenes I interview. So you're going to see more of that, man. 4NR Eve app on Twitter, and you can download it on Google and Apple App Store.
Make sure you tweet that stuff at us and share it so we can some give you a little boost there, man. We really do appreciate your music. I listened to a bunch of it leading up to the interview, and I really enjoyed a lot of it, man. I hope we can use it a little more. So thanks very much for being here, and thanks for you know showing your struggle, man. It's important, and it's brave of people to step up and talk about some painful stuff, man. So I appreciate that. All right.
Thank you, man. The next song, the next music I got, I'm gonna give it to you to play it on the radio.
All right, man, you know how to find me. All right, that's Q Da Vinci, everybody. Thank you very much. Yeah. So there we go. I love it. We keep saying it's art and activism here at New Jersey Revolution Radio, but I don't think we've done enough art, have we, Kim?
No, you need to do some more, especially in these times.
What other art can we do, you know, besides like music and stuff like that on a podcast? Like, I guess we can authors. I haven't done authors in a while.
Poets are very good.
Poets,
yeah,
a lot of great poets.
There's a lot of, and that's sort of like a little bit of rap, you know, people talking about their lives.
You know, when I first started this and I didn't have as many names to call for shows in the activist community and stuff, I used to just like, and I couldn't book, you know, an activist for that week, I would just flip through the articles that are on blogs and stuff and just call up an author or somebody or a poet, and maybe I should just go back. I haven't needed to because we have so many wonderful activists and I always have them all the week, but maybe I got to go back to making sure I do a little scouting through the writer community, because
a lot of artists are activists too.
A lot. I mean, it's hard to find an artist that doesn't have strong political opinions.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
It's definitely starving. So, how did I shut off the music? Oh, I shut off the music. What did I do that for? That's terrible. It's all right. We'll do the sponsorship here without the music while I click it up. The August Agency. Here comes our music back. Here. That's better. All right. There we go. The August Agency can do QuickBooks. They can do accounting. They can do more. Charlie, who himself is an activist as well, helps us here at New Jersey Revolution Radio by minding our money. And he can do the same for you. You can reach Charlie at the number scrolling on the bottom of your screen. That's 201-895-7227. Again, that's 201-895-7227. Or you can visit them on the web, www.theaugustagency.biz. Charlie keeps up. He sees money moving before I see it a lot of times and gives me a heads up that I need to tag things in QuickBooks. So he's really an important part of New Jersey Revolution Radio. We thank him for his services. And I hope when you call him for your small business needs, your independent contracting or artist accounting needs, that you mention New Jersey Revolution Radio. When you do, we're going to welcome in our main guest now. Our main guest is a young gentleman out of South Jersey, Vineland, a place where there's been a lot of political activity. I think we're probably going to get into some of his hometown activity. It's not Vineland. Is it Bridgeton?
It was actually about a few months ago, to be honest.
The town that you were from?
I'm from Vineland.
Vineland, that's right. That's right.
Okay, Vineland, New Jersey.
That's what I thought. Okay, I looked at my notes real quick, and then I saw Bridge. I thought, oh, yes, in the wrong town. I do that a lot. Justin Roig, right, is a young green or a young eco-socialist. Welcome to the program, Justin. How are you?
Thank you very much, Brian. I'm doing pretty all right. It rained here, too, today, by the way. So other than that, nothing really happened.
I think it topped out here in Woodbridge. I think it hit me and below. I just barely got the top of it. That's cool. So, Justin, how old are you?
How old is he? 16 years old.
16. And you're starting your junior or senior year in high school?
Junior year in high school.
Cool, man. How'd you find out about the Young Greens or the Young Eco-Socialists?
Well, about a week or two before schools in New Jersey were closed for the pandemic, this is about mid-February, I saw a post from Bob Menendez when he met with Juan Guaido, who is someone I have many problems with.
Oh, yeah.
First off, being an illegitimate president, but that's another story for another day. And I noticed someone who had become a very close friend of mine, Matthew Sklar, calling him out for this. And I was like, finally, someone gets it. And I ended up following him, and I saw that he reposted the Green. I saw he was a member of the Green Party in New Jersey. Then Madeline Hoffman followed me, who's running for Senate. And then I saw that the Yes Caucus, when it was first being founded, was reposted on both their pages, and then I just followed the account, and Matthew reached out to me asking me if I would like to join the caucus. The caucus had about 10, 12 people by the time that I had joined. It was still in its infancy. It was only around for about a week or two. And that's how I ended up joining the caucus. And then about a few weeks in, by April 7th, after the month of March, we gained some more members, and we were recognized by the state party April 7th. And we were holding, and then we held our elections following this after our bylaws were passed. And that's how I got involved in the caucus. And then I ended up getting the position of secretary, since no one ran for the position after the elections were completed. Mm-hmm. And I also, this is just about me, I'm also a delegate for the GPNJ, as well as Kim.
Yes.
Cool to see a fellow party member, man. Social media. How important has social media been? I mean, you basically, you know, the story you told.
Critical.
Is that where everybody meets, basically?
Pretty much, yes. I mean, that's how I was able to find out about really what the Green Party was and stood for, and about the Yes Caucus. Because I really just found out about it by, you know, following Matthew. And then basically, that's how a lot of our members have found it, though. If it wasn't from people they already knew in the caucus, it was by seeing the Instagram page. Mostly it's Instagram nowadays, because that's what a lot of younger people use, as opposed to Facebook or Twitter. But that is where basically everything's happening on social media now. People are organizing on social media. People are finding out about things on social media. People are even getting news about events or even things that are going on. Say the protests in Portland and the suppression, we were seeing videos of that from fellow activists that were out there on the ground before it made the mainstream news propaganda, media cycle. So that social media is pretty much where it's happening now.
Kim?
Yeah. So, Justin, one of the things that, with young Greens coming in, what could you say to other young people? Because we notice right now there's a lot more young people involved in DSA, Progressive Democrats. What can you say that the Green Party could offer that they can't?
Well, here's my two cents on that, because really, this is why I'm personally a Green, because the Greens have been on the forefront of many of the social issues I care about since the party's inception. And as many young people try to get involved in groups such as DSA or Progressive Democrats, I can't really speak on DSA, but I can speak on Progressive Democrats. You're not going to change the Democratic Party. Green candidate for president, Howie Hawkins, said this a multitude of times. You cannot change the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party will change you. And this is true. I mean, what's happening with, you know, even members of the squad who are people that I respect, but even we've seen them take some neoliberal turns here and there because of the Democratic Party. And I would also like to point out that the Democratic Party will never be for the social change that people of my generation want. They'll never be for Medicare for all, the funding the police, what have you. That's not in their interests. It's a centrist corporatist party. The only difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party is that while the Republican Party is honest about hating the poor, the Democratic Party will pretend to love the poor, and say soothing words to them while stabbing them in the back. I mean, just look what happened with the stimulus bill.
Yes.
We were supposed to get $1,200 or $600 for, let's see, how long has it been since the last one? February, April. March, April. It's been April since the last one, and that was supposed to, you know, make people survive. We have thousands of people in this country that lost their jobs overnight, that had to go and, you know, quote unquote, accept welfare, accept help, or accept whatever for the first time in their lives. Something many of these people probably look down on people who used to do this before. You had a bunch of people that no longer have any income. And $1,200 is supposed to suffice this? And for the poorest American, $600? There is no choice in regards to political parties in this country. And to bring the question back to young people, the Democratic Party does not want us. We are not welcome. They may want us around so they can say, look at these young people we have. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? You will be silenced. I can promise you. They will silence you. Only a few months ago, a year ago, they were saying Black Lives Matter were being investigated as a terrorist organization. And I remember a few, as well as other Black Lives Matter groups.
A year ago, it was on the terrorist watch.
Yes. And when I was about, say, seventh grade, when Black Lives Matter was in its infancy, with Ferguson, Missouri, and what have you, I remember all the people around me saying that were Democrats, whether they were just normal people I knew and Democratic politicians. Don't all lives matter? Oh, they're going about it the wrong way. Yada, yada, yada. Only a few years ago, all these people were telling me, I black the blue, thin blue line, blue lives matter, all lives matter. And now every Democratic and even some Republican politicians are showing up at, you know, Black Lives Matter protests. Even in my local area in Vineland, there were three protests. The last one, which I knew it was going to be the last one because local government and the local police department decided to get itself involved, had basically, you know, they put some performance on with the police taking a knee. I mean, considering what happened to George Floyd, I feel like that was extremely inappropriate, but whatever. Our Republican mayor and our, you know, Republican Democrat city council all cried tears of boo-hoo and whatnot. They promised that they would open some sort of dialogue between the police and the local populace. I haven't seen anything on that. I haven't seen, and I have no faith in the local government whatsoever. And I also saw this in other towns that are nearby, Millville, New Jersey, Richmond, New Jersey. The same problem is happening. What happened with a lot of these protests is, unfortunately, once they made mainstream, a lot of them were silenced and not all of them in the typical way you would think. Not all of them were silenced in the sense of, we're going to dispatch troops and beat you all. I mean, they did that too, but that's not the only way they pacified it. Another way, I know the whole taking a knee thing for protesters, that started as a tactic that the LAPD used in order to try and break up protests. And what do you know, it worked. And it started working across the country. Soon as they started doing this across the country, everyone started acting like, oh, it's okay. We can stop protesting now. We can stop demanding defunding the police. We can stop demanding social programs that would prevent the quote-unquote crime everyone's complaining about. The people talk about black and black crime whenever we mention police brutality. Well, you want to stop crime happening in urban areas? You need social programs. You need things for the kids to do after school. You need food. You're less likely to rob the corner store if you have something to eat in the pantry. A lot of people don't. Even I live in an area where there's low food security. You're less likely to tear crap up, pardon my French, if you have these we're talking about cities with jobs have been taken away by both major parties. The food security is nil because they're living in food deserts.
Yeah.
And there's no more social programs. No one has healthcare. And the American government and much of the American public, who unfortunately is unaware, has the audacity to complain about why they're tearing up their own neighborhoods. Really, well, considering how much they've been gutted, what other option have they been left with?
It's really good to hear the awareness, you know, in one young person, and it's glad I'm glad to hear the organization is growing. But awareness is one thing, strategy is another. Now, you can be a young green under 35, I believe, is the cutoff for young green, right? So, yes. Are any of your members eligible to run for office? Are you still a lot of teenagers? And have you begun thoughts on, you know, when, you know, how we can get some younger people involved and starting to run for office? Maybe at these local levels where you're dealing, you know, with shit like that in violence. Oh, sorry. crap. I'm sorry, Mrs. Roy. I didn't want to bring
your son. Feel bad. Everything's fine.
We curse so, here. And,
we actually do have one of our members running for city council in Hawthorne. Now, that's a non-political party.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
His name is Kevin Bergen. Kevin Bergen.
New Jersey?
Yep, Hawthorne. He's running for school board in Hawthorne. I think I said city council by accident.
Hawthorne.
That's supposed to be a non-political position. However, we all know how that goes.
Right.
But one of our goals, one of our major goals within the caucus in general, is to try and quote unquote radicalize, educate, inform, give the resources to young people who want to learn about eco-socialism or socialism, that want to run for office someday. And one of our goals, and I know I've talked about this with our chair, Matthew Sklar, our goal is to – yep, Matthew just corrected me, Board of Education, thank you. So one of our goals is to kind of foster this political awareness and consciousness within the – and form solidarity between people between, you know, maybe between North Jersey and South Jersey and working people and, you know, oppressed peoples across the state. We want to foster that solidarity, and we want to be able to have people run for office in the future to try and further chip away at the power and hopefully dismantle the two-party system in the state, the Democratic Party's control of the state of New Jersey, and the two-party system that is gripping this country. And one of the things we try to do is also we have separate committees within the caucus. We have a labor committee. We have an LGBTQ committee, which had its first meeting yesterday. We have a peace committee, which has already done an action within the first week of its inception, and furthermore is to come, as I'm sure we'll all see. And we all basically, and we also have a women's committee and so on. I can't name all of them right now. I should know this, but I got the memory of an elephant sometimes, so you know how that goes. And we try to organize around these specific issues as it pertains nationally and at the state level. We really try to operate within local regards to the state and to the areas that we live in. One of my personal goals is to try and within Camden, Atlantic, Cape May, and Salem counties and Gloucester, the South Jersey counties, is to try and also loosen some of the control that the two-party system has here. A lot of youth are in the area and in the state are just, we're tired. We're tired of having to fight the same fight that our parents fought, our grandparents fought, and so on. So we're tired of fighting the same fight. Therefore, we want to organize together and try and be the generation that ends this.
I wanted to ask you about some issues. I mentioned, you know, it's nice to see some consciousness in the youth, and you had mentioned earlier that, you know, you'd been drawn in because of, you know, policy in Venezuela. You've got a Puerto Rican. I know you're much into Puerto Rican liberation. So a lot of foreign policy as well as locally. You're a very well-rounded politician at 16. Is the consciousness there in your peers? What do you think of your, like, I'm sure your close friends have some political consciousness because, you know, birds of a feather, right? But overall, in school, when you go to school, I mean, what kind of political conversations go on in high schools these days?
I mean, a lot of people, particularly in my town, it kind of ranges. You got people that identify as, oh, yeah, I'm conservative. They usually go for whatever either what their parents support or the opposite of what their parents support in order to be rebellious. And that means white kids that are invested in, you know, being allies to the struggle for black liberation or for LGBTQ rights or what have you. And ironically, you also find Puerto Ricans and people of color becoming conservative. which is an ironic thing to think is happening. However, a lot of people in general, I would say, are starting to wake up to the fact of we live in a capitalist, racist, patriarchal society. And the consciousness, while I would say it's not completely there, that's one of the goals of our caucus, is to raise that consciousness amongst the youth, particularly in South Jersey. South Jersey is a more conservative part of the state. You're going to find a lot of people with wide-ranging views, as opposed to North Jersey, where it's mostly Democratic, with a few exceptions, be it Ocean County or some shore towns or what have you. Down here, it's either like blue or red. That's how it's usually been seen. So you're either Republican or Democrat down here. That's how it's been viewed for a long time. And with the introduction of, you know, third parties, particularly the Green Party, people have seen, well, there's a way, we don't have to go with that anymore. Our generation can be, you know, we don't have to go with the two-party system anymore. The two-party system's been failing us for a long time. And you find that a lot of people are also like, say, with the Sanders campaign, that was an influential thing in 2016 and 2020, and influenced me heavily. It's where I started with volunteering. I volunteered for his campaign. That's what had drawn in a lot of people my age from the area. And that even now continues to interest more and more people into political activism. And then they learn about Jill Stein, and then they learn about the Green Party, and they learn about the Hawkins campaign or what have you. And then they hear about Madeline Hoffman, and then they're like, oh, that's interesting. And so I am seeing now that there's a lot of interest in third parties starting to be festered because of the, also with the nomination of Kamala Harris and months ago, and now that it's official, Joe Biden is the Democratic Party nominee. A lot of people are either going into two camps, the settle. Yeah.
Ugh. They really did that.
I know. At the time of calling for defunding the police, they picked Kamala Harris, who's a whole other mess. But because of this, people are either going to two camps. Oh, we're going to stick by them, or, and this is my preferred camp, we're done with this. Yeah. We're tired, and we're going to do our own thing now. And that's what I really hope is the final straw that broke the camel's back in regards to youth.
Kim.
Yes.
Any questions before we go? Any more questions? We're getting
no. I think I mean Justin. We drove up to Seaside Heights to get Madam's signatures. We talked a lot. He's a great activist. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. Yes. Someday I see him running for office.
We did. We talked on the phone for about an hour the other day. It was really an enlightening conversation, and I can tell you, you know, you talk about, you know, learning from older activists. I've learned a lot from every generation of activists. I've learned something, yeah. I think, from every activist I've met. But I think I've learned more from people younger than me because of their, and in particular in ways to communicate. You know, like we talked about social media a little bit here, but honestly, the way they use technology, the way they communicate is different than the generations before or my generation. And thank God, you know, early on when I was involved with 15 Now, that I started that with some college students, and they were like, you know, this is how you chat on PM, and this is how you use a meme to communicate. You know, like it was not, it wasn't something I would have ever known. And I would be honestly completely lost as an activist if it had not been for hanging out with some younger activists who taught me how to communicate via social media. So, you know, kudos to that generation, and I'm glad to hear it's still going strong and growing. Justin, before we go, I want to make sure I give you a chance. If you have any last things that you'd like to mention or let us know how we can get in touch with you or the Young Greens, please get us your last thoughts.
Okay. So if anyone watching this wants to join the caucus, they can reach out to the Young Eco-Socialists. We have a group on We have a page on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So you can find us at, I'll pull it up real quick now. Yes, young.ecosocialist.newjersey, and you can find us on Instagram. Reach out to us there or on Twitter or on Facebook if you wish to join the caucus. If you want to find me, I'm at Justin Roig on Instagram, and power to the people.
All right. Kim, any events coming up?
Nothing that I know of so far. I think it's been a little bit quiet, but So hopefully soon.
I don't know. Did we schedule next week? Are you going to be back next week? I know you'd mentioned the Congress thing. We're going to have a good show next week.
You're talking about the post office. So that's the new back to blue is for the police, for not for the police. Now we're going to make it for the postal workers.
So we're going to have a postal worker who's been involved as a union representative, pretty high level union representative, good friend of mine, Nora. She works on the floor of one of the largest post offices in the world, which is in the city here. So I'm really looking forward, with everything going on, she's going to come and give us that grassroots worker activist perspective that we need, as well as she knows what's going on in Congress that we touched on a little bit earlier there today. I mentioned last week to everybody, you know, it costs about $300 for us to get out to a protest or an event. Stream for the day, come back, edit out some clips, and talk about it here. And none of the activist groups that we support have that kind of money. It's a lot of money for these grassroots groups. They don't have it. Yeah. So your monthly contributions help offset that. And whenever I go to an event, they chip in the hat. They pass it around. They give me whatever they got, $50, $100. It's great. It helps. And I appreciate that. But it doesn't cover our costs. What covers our costs is people chipping in a few bucks every month as a monthly donor. You can go to www.njrevolutionradio.com to contribute, or you can find us on the pay thing where everybody can see Venmo. You can find us on Venmo at NJRevRad, or however you want to make a donation, let us know. If you have any questions for us, you can email us info@njrevolutionradio.com. I want to thank our guest, Q DaVincio. I want to thank Kim for guest hosting with us this week. I want to thank Justin for coming on. I would wish all you luck. Until next week at 8 o'clock, we will be streaming live again on YouTube, on Twitter, and on Facebook. This is Brian Powers. And I want to remind everybody that the police can quit their jobs. Good night, everybody.
Yes, they can.
Good night. I'm